In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. And may God, by his word, feed each and every one of us here today, and you in the hearing of the word, may he comfort you with his grace and mercy, and may he give you also some instruction in the word of God. Before I read my text, I'd like to speak about one verse from the psalm that the brother wrote about, read about. And this has been my habit for a number of years now. Even spoke about it last night, about looking at individual Bible verses that we hear all that often and are common. And sometimes they are taken a little bit out of context, or sometimes we lose a little bit of the meaning by only considering one verse. It's still the Word of God. So we're not going to say it's not the Word of God. But this verse that I'd like to speak about a little bit this afternoon are this very common thing that you've heard many, many times. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. It's wonderful words, isn't it? And we could say that every day, couldn't we? When we get up in the morning, you know, even if we get up with bad thoughts or whatever, we could look into the Word and say, this is the day that God made us, that the Lord hath made. And he has, hasn't he? He has given us each day a new day of grace. And so we have reason, even on this day, to rejoice and be glad in it. Even if we look at our complaints, we have way more reason to be thankful and rejoice. But as the brother read, did you hear? He was speaking about a special time. He was, the verses before that that the brother read, he was talking about Jesus suffering and his death and now his glorious resurrection. Especially this place, this psalm is especially about the resurrection. So when we think about that verse, we can think about it as today, but especially today when we remember the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And today we rejoice that Jesus has risen from the grave, and he lives forever, and he will always live, and we will live with him too. So now we'll come to the text that I tremble at. Shouldn't probably speak about myself, but I've never used this text, and I don't know why I chose it, except that, well, it mentions the resurrection in there a couple times. But, and it's written primarily for Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. Here the Apostle Paul is writing from prison, and he's writing to Timothy, and he's telling them what to do in the new church. And it's about pastors and preachers, mostly. But can we really say mostly? I believe that this, we should consider this text both ways, not only to the pastors and ministers, but also to each and every one of us, because we are all of the priesthood of believers. That's a very special belief that we have as Lutherans. In some churches, you know, only the pastor or the priest has any authority to preach or to teach the word. But we are so blessed when we believe differently than that, because we believe that not primarily from the pastors and the preachers, but then it goes down from there. It goes to the board members and the Sunday school teachers and the fathers and mothers at home, and even to the children, that we can all preach the gospel. We can preach and talk about Jesus. We can preach absolution. We can preach about the gospel. We can even have the authority and power to even rebuke against sin and ungodliness. We are part of this royal priesthood. So we will read this, but remember now as we read this that this is for all of us. So we'll read this in Jesus' name. 2 Timothy chapter 2, 1 through 19. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou now hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Amen. So we see that this is Apostle Paul, and remember now he's in bonds, he's in prison, he cannot freely go around, but he is not bound that much that he can't write. And so he's writing to Timothy, a young man, and he's telling him and us that we are to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Already there, this is just so wonderful encouragement for us, that to continue, be strong in faith, not in your flesh, not in your the strength of your arms or the strength of your words, but to be strong in the grace, that you would continue to believe that God is gracious, Jesus has redeemed us, and that he has given us this Holy Spirit, and he has given us the promise of eternal life. Be strong there. There's where our strength is, in what like he says, that is in Christ Jesus. That's our strength. We can be the weakest person in the world, and we can be on our deathbed, or we can be in a cripple, in a wheelchair, a young child, it doesn't matter. You know, we have strength when we are a Christian, when we are a child of God. And further, he says that the things that you have heard, the things that Apostle Paul has taught, not only to Timothy, but as he says, that among many witnesses. So, you know, the gospel and the message of salvation is not something that's like in secret, but it's open. And may our lives also and our words be open wherever we are. We'd be a child of God, a confessor of Jesus Christ, wherever we are, whether we're at home, in our neighborhood, whether we're at school or work, whether we're in the store, or whether we're on a trip somewhere. Apostle Paul said, there's been many witnesses to what I've spoken. He speaks such boldness. And he's telling Timothy that now this young church, that you've got to appoint others to be part of this, because the gospel needs to be spread. It needs to be spread around. That's God's will, because his desire is that none would be lost, but that all would be saved. So he's telling Timothy to appoint others to do that. And I know that in your church, in your congregation, you appoint different people to do different things. This is in fulfillment of this scripture. May you continue to do that. And also that you would be willing, as Paul encourages Timothy, that to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. That be willing, ask God to give you strength to take some abuse. That you wouldn't be discouraged easily, or that you wouldn't start to have the thought that woe is me, somebody said one word against me. You know, words can be powerful and they can hurt us, but he's telling Timothy that, oh, that you would endure hardness, endure difficulty as a child of God. And I know that even today in this assembly, there are those who are going through some hard times. You know, we deal with death, we deal with sorrow, with sickness, we deal with close loved ones in unbelief, we deal with those that are straying away, we deal with those that we perceive that they have no interest in Christianity. It's difficult, isn't it? But oh, that you would continue, be strong in the Lord and go on, and don't be discouraged, that it's not the end yet. And then especially he's telling Timothy that this is how you are to take care of things in the church. And I know we can have different understandings about this, but no man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. So he's comparing pastors to soldiers. You know, when we are, I'm sure there's some here who have been in the military, I have not, but if you are drafted into the military or join the military, you leave your home and you leave everything behind, and then you're a soldier and you do what you're told to do, whatever military you're in. Well, so it should be with pastors. It can be that way with pastors, that they have told, well, you know, that you're not to be entangled or involved with everything else in this life, but you've been appointed to the gospel. That's right and that's good. And yet we know that as we read through the scriptures, it wasn't that way with all of them. But with some it was, and that's God's plan. So, but also for each and every Christian that's here, that is not a pastor or a preacher. And we also are told here that not to be too entangled with this world. We can get so caught up. And I know probably some mothers here probably maybe even feel a little condemnation inside that, well, all I do is I care for my children. I don't have time to read and study the Word of God as I should. And maybe sometimes I miss the services because I care for my children. God bless you. You're in the place that God has put you. You're not entangled with the world. You're doing God's will. But how entangled can we get so that pretty soon we don't go to hear the Word of God? And we don't read the Word of God anymore? And we just are busy with everything else? It's not always that we're busy and entangled with sinful things. We're just with the busyness of this life. Oh, that we'd be able to find time to spend around the Word of God. May it be that even on the Lord's Day especially, pray that God would help you to put away the thoughts of this life and gather around the Word and read the Word and discuss the Word of God. It's so good. Also, he compares these pastors and preachers that if a man also strive for masteries and yet is not crowned except he strive lawfully. Can't say I can describe exactly what it's talking about here, but you know, if we're called to do something, we are not to take shortcuts. We are not to do things that are dishonest or untruthful, but we're to do it faithfully. Whatever we are do, we should do it faithfully, as unto the Lord. That's how we should live our life, that we're living unto God. May God bless us for that. And also, the husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits, that those that work in the vineyard or on a farm, that they shouldn't just work there, but they should also be fed from that. And so it is in the ministry also, that they are to be cared for by the congregation. So he knows this is difficult for Timothy, and he knows that this is a very important thing because he says, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. So consider these words of God and ask God that you would get understanding so that you would properly understand it. Because it's so, the Word of God is deep, and if God by His Spirit reveals it, well, then it's plain as day. But sometimes it can be hidden from us until God opens it to us. Then he comes back to the resurrection. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. According to his teaching, you know, it wasn't like it was just Apostle Paul that was preaching about the resurrection, but in my teaching and in my preaching was the resurrection of the dead. And especially he's speaking about that today in this chapter, we'd say, is because of the verses that follow after. But still, it's a key part of our doctrine, of our belief, is that there was and there was the resurrection of the dead by Jesus, and that we also will rise again. It's such a key part of our doctrine that we must believe in order to be saved. And so he encourages Timothy by telling him that about himself, first of all, wherein I suffer trouble. He's there in the prison as an evildoer. He's there because the government thinks he's an evildoer, even unto bonds. Maybe he was tied up or had shackles on his hands or his feet. I don't know that. But then a wonderful part of this verse, but the word of God is not bound. So even Apostle Paul, being a prisoner, don't know what the prison looked like, but he didn't have the freedom to go out. But even there, the word of God was not bound. No, the word of God is so powerful. It's more powerful than any force in this world. And we live in this land, like even the brother said in the prayer today, that, you know, do we have any fear that we're going to be disrupted here today? I mean, we could, but at this moment, I don't have any thoughts that, well, somebody's going to come in and stop the service. But even if they did, still the Word of God is not bound. Still, at home, we can preach and speak about the gospel. We can speak it to our neighbors. Even if somebody says, no, I don't want to hear that, still the Word of God is not bound. It is free. It's impossible to bind it. And it's also, don't bind it this way yourself. Don't think when you look at other people and say, well, it's probably not worth it to even speak to that person. No, don't judge them that way. The Word of God is not bound. It's free. It's been freely given to you. Freely speak about the gospel, the Word of God. And he's telling us here that he, Apostle Paul, saying, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they also may obtain salvation, which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Apostle Paul is not telling us here that, isn't it bad that I'm here in prison? Well, even in prison, his concern is about the gospel and about preaching the Word of God. And may that be ours also. He further adds that it's a faithful saying that if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Probably Paul at this time knew that he probably wasn't going to live. But he had this confidence, and may we also, that even if we die because of the gospel, yet we will live. That's a promise. It's such a comfort to know. And we don't have to worry about what's coming ahead, even though we might think about it. You know, probably many times in our life we've heard about those that gave their life and they were martyrs and things like that. We don't have to worry about that. Even the Word tells us that we don't even have to think about what we're going to say. That at that moment, you know, the Holy Ghost will reveal to us what we should say. No, let's go on with our Christian life, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, and what comes, let it be. But don't be bashful with preaching the Word. Further, he adds that if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. Think of that. Even if we have a tough life here, and even if we have to give our own life, or we suffer with all kinds of shame and people making fun of us or whatever, we're going to reign with Jesus. Such power and glory we will have. But if we deny him, he will deny us. Now, we need to be careful how we consider this verse. To deny Jesus is not, well, I should have said something, but I didn't. We all have that, don't we? We probably all have regrets about, well, you know, I was at this person's house or with this friend or relative or my child or my parents, and I should have said this. Is that denying Jesus? No, it really isn't. But may God give you boldness to speak. But to deny Jesus is to say, I do not believe in Jesus. I do not believe in the resurrection of the dead. I do not believe that he went to the cross and died for the sins of the whole world. That's denying Jesus. That's denying our faith. And further, he adds that, again, instruction to Timothy and to us, of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. This comes close to us. You know, in our Christianity, we've often striving about little words. And is that edifying when we do that? When we argue about words? You know, sometimes we get so off on a tangent that we're arguing about little words, and Jesus Christ is left out of that discussion and that argument. I love that word, edifying, that's in the Bible. Consider what you say and do, that it would be a benefit to those around you, those that listen to you speak. You know, if we could, it'd be nice if we could stop before one word comes out of our mouth and say that, will this be a benefit? Will this be a help? Or will this be a hurt? May God lead us in that way. Because it tells us that but to the subverting of the hearers. You know, when we start being picky about little things and words, it's mostly about words here, strive not about words, it causes damage. It says it subverts the hearers. And then some more just wonderful words of instruction. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Study the word of God, that you would know yourself what's in the word of God. And you can read the word of God, and if you have struggled with a place, ask somebody else. Let's read this together. What does this mean? I have to tell you, many times in my life, and I still do it, I ask somebody else, well, you know, I was reading this, and what does this mean to you? Well, it's really good. Somebody will tell us, well, this is what I see, and it's like a light bulb comes on. Oh, yeah, that's right. So study, but also not just for knowledge, but to study thyself approved unto God. And this would be to study redemption, to study how that God in his love sent his only Son into this world to live here, to preach here, to suffer and die for us, to be buried and rise again, and further even to be ascended into heaven and his promise of coming again. Study that, because it's in Jesus. That's where our salvation is. Study this to see so that it would strengthen your faith and you could believe that, yeah, this is the word of God. Of course, we hear that most powerfully in the preaching of the word. And so come to hear the word of God preached. And not only to study thyself to approve unto God, and he said, be a workman that you don't need to be ashamed, so you preach the truth, but also, so importantly, rightly dividing the word of truth. Not only, but first of all to pastors and preachers, you know, that you would rightly divide the word of truth. If we look at the word of God real simply, it's divided into the law and the gospel. And the law, primary, shows us what we are. And it shows us our need of salvation. It shows us our complete lack and our need for a Savior. It shows us that we are sinners. And the gospel primarily shows us that all is complete in Jesus Christ, even though we are guilty before the law of God. But that needs to be divided correctly. And may God, do we know exactly how to do that? Well, I don't know about that. But we certainly need to pray to God that we would, in our preaching and our teaching, that we would correctly divide the word of truth. Because if it's one way or the other, we can leave people with a false hope or maybe false condemnation. You know, that somebody, just think if somebody could be under condemnation because we didn't preach the gospel to them. Wouldn't that be terrible? You wouldn't want to do that to anybody, would you? Wouldn't you want to assure them of salvation in Jesus Christ? But yet, without the knowledge of sin, the gospel doesn't mean anything. So may God even show unto us and give us of the right measure of his Spirit, so that in our preaching and teaching, whether it's in the church or at home, that we would rightly divide this word of truth. And further, that we would shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. This could be a very big subject, but there's all kinds of information that's out there around us today. I mean, if we go on the internet, we can find all kinds of lost books of the Bible. We can find all kinds of different teachings and doctrines that are not according to the doctrine of our church, that have been taught for years, and it seems like there's more. Maybe there's not more and more, but it's certainly more and more available for us. You know, we can follow dreams and fables and all kinds of things. Let's stay in the Word of God. And there is salvation, and there is the truth. And for it tells us that these profane and vain babblings, they will increase unto more ungodliness. That's where it leads. It leads us to error and destruction. Stay with the Word of God. And then he has an example in here about two people, that their word is like a canker. That word means something like gangrene. You know, this false teachings can be this to us, that just like a person that has gangrene, it eats their body. You know, it's such an infection that if it's not cared for, we'd have to remove limbs from us if we get this gangrene or canker in us. So that's why it's so important to be in the truth, in the Word of God. And may that always be our portion. And these two men that he's speaking about here, there's another place in Timothy that he spoke about. And it's kind of interesting what it says there. It might give us a little bit more insight into it. And it's from the first chapter of Timothy. Maybe we'll start with reading verse 18. Again, it's to the same Timothy that he's writing the second epistle. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, same kind of wording, right? Holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck, of whom these same two guys again, Hymenaeus and Alexander, well, maybe now it's Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. So there we're exhorted here that to hold faith and a good conscience. That's also, isn't it? Obviously, we are saved by faith, justified by faith, we could say, saved by grace through faith. So important, and we encourage, that's what our preaching should be, that we would, especially for the child of God, that encourage them to believe the gospel. But also when we go through life and things happen, we deal with each other, we are sinners, and we cause offense one to another, and we fall. We fall with temptations come in our life, and then we're left with grief and sorrow and a guilty conscience. Well, this place, Apostle Paul is encouraging us here to take care of your conscience. That's important. It isn't salvation, but it can affect our faith. And if we have a bad conscience, there's room then for the enemy of the soul, the devil, to come and accuse us and say that, well, you did this. How can you be saved? How can you still be a Christian? And when we have a bad conscience, often we don't want to be around other people. So take care of the conscience. Confess those deeds and issues that you've fallen into. And if you've offended somebody, go and speak to them about it. That never gets old. We're going to need that till the day we die. At least I will. Then he speaks further about them who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already and overthrow the faith of some. So not only did they have trouble with faith and conscience matters, but also they spoke against the resurrection. They said it had already happened. We wait for the resurrection day when we'll rise from the grave. Our loved ones will rise from the grave. Maybe we'll be living when Jesus comes, but if not, we'll be in the grave also. but there will be that resurrection day. It is coming. It's a day we look forward to. And our text ends with some very serious words and beautiful words. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. No matter what happens in this life, God's word is a foundation that we can stand on. It's that solid rock. And it won't be moved in any storm, won't be moved in any hurricane or tornado or any warfare, nothing. You know, that foundation stands sure. And this is, and even this is part of that foundation, that the Lord knoweth them that are his. He knows you, brothers and sisters, even boys and girls today. God knows you. He knows you. And do you know one of the reasons why he knows you? Is because he has paid a great price for you. He's given his only son for you. And to Jesus, I mean, he has given his life for you. He's not going to easily put you off or discard you. No, he doesn't do that. He holds on to you, and he holds you in his arms, and he presses you to himself. He loves you, and he wants to keep you. And he tells us further that we have that seal. It's actually like a seal upon us. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And what, just briefly, this seal, okay? Of course, it's the teaching of the Word of God, but it's also our baptism. God knows you. May that be even a comfort and assurance to you today that God has sealed you, especially to himself. And he will not, from his side, he doesn't change. He's unmovable. We are movable, but he doesn't. So it is. And then further, we end with this instruction that let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Again, that never gets old-fashioned either, does it? We all need to be told, encouraged, exhorted about iniquity. Depart from iniquity. Leave it behind. Go away from it. Some striking examples in the Bible about that. Remember when Joseph was being tempted by Potiphar's wife? He ran. He was so moved that he wanted to be away from the temptation and away from the ungodliness. Depart from iniquity. And that seems like a big matter. But there's all, in our life, there's a whole bunch of little things happen to us. The enemy of the soul knows that he can come to us and even tempt us with a little bit of iniquity. No, depart from those little things. Don't become so casual that, well, it doesn't matter, I'll just do this or that. No, the Word of God is so clear, depart from iniquity. And those that nameth the name of Christ, depart from iniquity. We don't depart from iniquity in order to be a Christian, but he's telling us as Christians, this should be a fruit of our faith, that we would not want to walk in ungodliness or iniquity. So may it be, brothers and sisters, that you would take even these words of exhortation today, and may it be a benefit to each and every one of you. I pray that my words would not be bad for you and that it would cause any damage, but that it would be a benefit to your undying soul, so that one day we could be in that same throng before Jesus, and that we could rise together in the air to meet him and there to be forever with him. And so as I close, I'd like to thank you for being so kind, and I've enjoyed visiting here and being with your brothers and sisters in faith. I've enjoyed our conversations. It's encouraged my faith, and I pray that God will keep you all the days of your life, and that you would journey on in faith and in love, and even in the congregation, that you would not, even as we heard briefly through this text today, that we would not be fighting over little words and things like that, but you would strive together in faith and be a benefit and edify one another. I have no rebukes for you, but I just want to encourage you on in faith, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is faithful. We are not, but he is faithful. And we are on that firm foundation, which is Jesus Christ. Pray for my wife and I and our families we also want to be together when we leave this life. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.